evening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Joining me tonight in the Man Cave to record Diz Dad's podcast, episode number 196, are Todd Bro.
Good evening.
Scott Henny.
Hello, everybody.
And Justin West.
Hello there.
Tonight on the podcast, we're continuing this year's Bunk Madness Walt Disney World Resort Tournament. And this time, we're going to be looking at the Epcot area resort hotels. But before we get to that, I do want to once again thank our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Next time your family's considering a vacation to Disney World, Disneyland, on the Disney Cruise Line, heck, even one of those other themed entertainment destinations on either coast, a Fairy Tale Journeys travel agent would love to help you out with that. You can check out the agency at fairytalejourneys.com. All right, guys. So last week on the live show, we narrowed the Magic Kingdom area down to its champion, the Polynesian Resort. Tonight, we're going to work through the Epcot area resorts. And we're going to start with a little play-in match here, which is kind of an intriguing matchup because we have the Caribbean Beach Resort, which is a moderate resort and, one of the older resorts on property. And we have what we're considering together, the Swan and Dolphin Resort Complex, which is not technically a Disney-owned resort. It's on property, but doesn't necessarily have all of the same benefits that somebody on property would get. And those are obviously going to weigh into consideration. So why don't we start with a little bit of a description of the Caribbean Beach Resort. So anybody want to take a description of Caribbean Beach?
I could go ahead with that.
Okay.
Caribbean Beach, like I said, moderate resort, so a step up from those values in that it's got a nicer pool area, water slide and everything. One of the things about Caribbean Beach is it's a very large resort. It's spread out along a lake. You've got the Trinidad north and south areas, Martinique, Barbados, Aruba, Jamaica. The theming, as in most with most things Disney, is carried out very well here. The color palette on the buildings has that nice tropical vibe. You've got the beach. Well, I wouldn't really recommend swimming in that lake.
No, they don't allow swimming in that beach. Somebody is warning you right now that you shouldn't be swimming in that beach.
Yeah, he's excited to be on the Diz Dad podcast this morning, this evening. But I don't have a whole lot of good to say about the dining options at the Caribbean Beach.
Okay. Yeah, but it's a little, it's one of the downsides of the moderate resorts are that you've got a food court and a sit-down restaurant, but most reports I get on Shutters, the sit-down restaurant, is that it's, sort of an afterthought. It's there, but nobody's first choice to eat there.
Right. So, I mean, that's about it. There's been maybe some rumor that they're starting to convert some of these rooms to the queen size beds, which would be a positive for sure. It was a little cramped when we stayed there with the family of
sure.
four, but
yeah, I think just so we don't lose that, it's important to note that it's a moderate resort, but it's the only one that has full size beds instead of queen size beds among the moderates. So on the one hand, you do get a little more floor space and it feels a little larger, but on the other hand, the beds themselves are smaller and they're the same size as the value resorts. Now, kind of on the other end of the spectrum is the Swan and Dolphin, which they're owned by the Starwood folks, right? The folks who bring you Sheraton and Westin hotels. So they're, from that perspective, sort of along the lines of a deluxe hotel in terms of their amenities and sort of the feel of the resort. It's, you know, nice finishings, nice furnishings. The rooms are nice rooms with high quality, deluxe quality bedding and all those things. And frankly, the thing that I think, speaks the strongest for the Swan and Dolphin are that they may be some of the most comfortable beds anywhere on Disney property, because they're the heavenly beds that are part of the, Starwood brand that they are really proud of. They even sell the beds, you can buy them from them. The downside to the Swan and Dolphin is that they're on Disney property, but they don't really feel like Disney resort hotels. They really feel more like a convention hotel, which they are a lot of the time. They do host conventions. They've got convention space. They're very large, very spread out, partially to accommodate the convention room. And they don't have the same sort of depth of Disney theming that you would get at any of the resorts that are, owned by Disney. Then again, the flip side, as we keep flipping things, they have a terrific array of restaurants there on property. A really exceptional group of restaurants. You've got Il Molino Italian there. You've got Kimono's Japanese and sushi there. You've got Shula's Steakhouse, Todd English Blue Zoo. Hear good things about Fresh Mediterranean Market, which is a little bit less expensive table service option. The Fountain gets some good reviews as well. So you've got a wide range of high-quality dining options there at the Swan and Dolphin. And I think the other thing that the Swan and Dolphin has going for it is that if you shop carefully, and if you happen to fall into, one of the special categories of folks who get discounts from Starwood Resorts, or specifically from the Swan and Dolphin, it can be the least expensive deluxe-type resort to stay at. They regularly run discounts for teachers. They run discounts for government employees sometimes, although I've never had any luck actually booking one of those. They run discounts for, if you're a Starwood's point holder, you can actually book your hotel room on points. It takes a lot of collecting because it's one of the more expensive resorts to book. But, that's the same thing is true of a Starwood resort, in Hawaii, for example. I mean, it's a resort destination, so it costs more points. I guess the real challenge here and what we're looking at is a comparison between a hotel that has a lot to offer in the Swan and Dolphin complex, but doesn't include all of the Disney amenities, not just theming, but you also don't get to use Magical Express. And the whole situation with magic bands at the Swan and Dolphin continues to be in a bit of flux. My understanding is that right now they're allowing Swan and Dolphin guests to book FastPass Plus 60 days out, but that there's a lot of pressure to push them back to being able to book FastPass Plus only 30 days out, like off-property guests. So, I don't know really what to advise there, because it sounds like that may be in a bit of a state of flux. You certainly can't use your magic bands to enter your room. You can't use your magic bands for purchases. Basically, you're using your magic band like an off-property guest would use a magic band, so you don't get that integrated experience.
You also have to take into consideration, too, you were talking about discounts and stuff on the rooms, that they also charge a per day. There's a fee, a per day charge. So for, I forgot exactly what they call it, but it's, like another $20 a day for the newspaper or, hotel tax, that sort of thing.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I believe that fee just went up in the last week or so. And I think it's now, I want to say it's like $22, $27 a day, something like that. And that adds up in a hurry.
Yeah, you add that into the cost. They may advertise a discounted rate, but then you add that extra cost in there, and it can, you know, bump it right back up and, you know, negate the discount.
That's true. And you also pay for parking at the Swan and Dolphin, even if you're staying at the resort, which is correct. Different than staying at one of the Disney-owned resorts. Now, flip side is, as we've talked about, Caribbean Beach is so large that they have, what is it now, is it 5 bus stops within Caribbean Beach Resort?
Yeah, 4 or 5, something like that.
Yeah. But it's beautiful, you know, as Justin was saying, gorgeous theming, you know, really well carried out throughout. You've got the pirate rooms out in the Trinidad area that is kind of the farthest from the center of the resort. So those used to be really the least popular rooms, but they've plushed them up and made them into these gorgeously themed pirate rooms, and they even get a price premium for them now.
They also rehabbed the pool area within the last year, and it's amazing from what I've seen in the pictures of the, you know, the Spanish fort with the guns and the water cannons and all that.
Yep. Yeah, it's a really nice it's doesn't feel like a moderate resort pool. You know, it really has a lot of the amenities that you would expect out of a deluxe pool. All right, so we've talked about these. Does anybody have anything else that they want to add about either the Caribbean Beach Resort or the Swan and Dolphin?
Just for argument's sake, we can't help but talk about the relationship with Swan and Dolphin being a Epcot area resort, meaning there is a boat stop and it's a walking distance from either Hollywood Studios or Epcot, versus only a bus ride for Caribbean Beach.
That's actually a really good point, Scott, and we neglected to talk about that. At the Swan and Dolphin, you're probably a little far to walk to the parks,
no.
I would say.
No. Well, no? I guess it depends on who you are.
Okay. So you think close enough to walk to the studios or close enough to walk to Epcot?
I believe it's the Dolphin is the one that's closest to Yacht Club.
Okay.
If you're at that one, you're basically a stone's throw from the bridge that gets you to the walkway to go either direction. So you're adding maybe an extra 100 yards to the walk if you're at that end of the boardwalk anyways.
Okay. I can see that. The one time I stayed at the Swan and Dolphin, we were staying at the Swan, and we were at, like, the opposite end. And as I said, it's a really big resort.
Yeah, I could see that being an extra, you know, that's, you're looking at probably almost an extra quarter mile by the time you get across the water.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, if you're at the Swan, you're on that side, I don't know that you're going to want to walk to the parks, but you do have the boat available to you. You know, if you're at the Dolphin, you probably could. That's a good point. Anybody else have anything they want to add about either of these resorts? All right, well, let's kind of put it to a vote here, and I'm going to throw it to Justin first. Justin, what do you think? Swan and Dolphin, Caribbean Beach?
Yeah, this is a lot closer than I expected it to be. Caribbean Beach is a fine resort, and wasn't my favorite moderate that I've stayed at, but it is. It does. It's really a beautiful resort, and you get that immersive feeling. But I think for me, Swan and Dolphin location and dining options are going to trump Caribbean Beach, so I'll take Swan Dolphin.
Okay. So the Swan and Dolphin for Justin. I'm going to bounce over to Todd. And Todd, what's your vote?
We definitely, it is a close call when you're talking back and forth about these, the pros and the cons of each, I guess. But what makes my choice for the Caribbean Beach, that would be my choice. And the reason why would be just because when I go to Disney, I want to be at Disney. I want to be at a themed resort. Not to say that, you know, I don't want to see convention people, because I do like Coronado Springs, and I go there all the time, and that doesn't seem to bother me. So I just think that, you know, and having the, you know, having the magic bands, having all those extra pluses, and being able to charge with the magic bands and being able to get into the room, you know, I've used the magic bands a few times recently, and, you know, it's definitely a convenience there to using magic bands. And I think having that extra, you know, those extra perks of being at a Disney resort Even though it is a moderate, I would definitely choose the Caribbean Beach.
Okay. So we've got one vote for Swan and Dolphin, one vote for Caribbean Beach. A lot on your shoulders now, Scott.
Yeah, and, you know, not to sound like a record, but I coming into this battle, I didn't think it was going to be as tough on me as what it has ended up being. I've stayed at Caribbean Beach. I have not stayed at Swan or Dolphin, but my favorite location on site is that lagoon area. So I was thinking hands down it was going to be that. Coming into it, and after sitting here and listening to everything about Caribbean Beach, it really takes me back to when we stayed there. And like Todd said, when I'm on property, I want to be consumed by Disney. I'm there for a reason, and that's one of the big reasons. So I got to take Caribbean Beach here, just because of the Disney theming and the, you know, as much as I like the lagoon area, I gotta have that Disney room style.
All right, so you've been swayed by the persuasion of Todd. Caribbean Beach is leading 2-1. I only vote to make or break a tie. And in this case, you know, it's a tough call. I feel like you guys do. I mean, when I started looking at this bracket, I really thought Swan and Dolphin was going to win here on the strength primarily of its location and its dining options and those beds. But when it comes down to it, from a value perspective, even if we take Swan and Dolphin and treat it as an inexpensive deluxe, the other little fees add up, and little, you know, nickel and dime fees drive me crazy. And, you know, once you add on, I believe the resort fee includes the parking, so that's a good thing. But, you know, once you add on $25 a day, plus you add on the transportation back and forth to the airport, which is not inexpensive. You know, either that means I have to rent a car because I can't use Magical Express, or it means I've got to pay for transportation back and forth. It doesn't look like such a great deluxe value anymore at Swan and Dolphin. And, you know, meanwhile, at least for now, Caribbean Beach is often the least expensive moderate resort. Now, that's because of the smaller beds and you know, the renovation that maybe is happening. You know, we're seeing rumors about it, but there's been no official announcements about a renovation at Caribbean Beach. I've seen some message board postings from people who claim to see, you know, a renovation in progress at Caribbean Beach, which I find very intriguing, especially since there's been no announcement. But I guess what I'm saying is I haven't heard enough to convince me that I should make this a tie. So Caribbean Beach is going to advance. I think we have our first upset of the tournament at this point, with a moderate resort upsetting the at least deluxe-style resort in the Swan and Dolphin, and Caribbean Beach advances.
You know what? At least there's a fair argument for the upset. That never bothers me.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. All right, so the next one is also a really challenging matchup because we've got two essentially sister resorts with the Yacht Club squaring off against the Beach Club. And they share many of their amenities, including that tremendous Stormalong Bay pool complex. So, Todd Bro, why don't you start off and sort of make a case for us for the Beach Club? Describe it a bit for us. Tell us why it ought to win this matchup.
Yeah, sure. Well, I can tell from personal experience. I've been there twice. And the reason why we like it and everybody says this is location, location, location. It's actually, I think what I read is it's the closest resort to any theme park that there's one room specifically, I don't know the number, but there's one room number that's specifically the quickest or the closest location to any Disney theme park. So that's one of the main pluses we feel that we like the Beach Club. It's very tranquil, we should say. The colors are very muted. They're very soft, you know, teals and that sort of thing. you know, as the name says, it's the beach club. So everything is themed in that sort of palette, you know, corals and teals, like I said, and, you know, like the, I guess the mid-Atlantic kind of, you know, that sort of beachy kind of area. And, you know, the amenities there are great. They have the Cape May Cafe, which is a great buffet, dinner and breakfast. And, you know, like you said, it does share some of the amenities. It shares the big complex, the big the pool area that, you know, is very very sought after and everybody goes for. And, you know, there it's under lock and key. You know, you have to show your magic band or your wristband saying that you're, you know, you're staying at those resorts to get in. And just overall, the feel there is very homely, you know. And that's why, you know, we've stayed, like I said, we've stayed there twice. And so that's my argument for that resort.
Okay, okay. Well, I mean, I guess the biggest difference to me between the yacht club and the beach club is that I feel like the yacht club feels a little bit more, and this is going to sound strange, but it feels a little more upscale. It feels richer. And it seems to me that since you're paying the same price, pretty much, I mean, the prices are usually identical. Since you're paying the same amount for either the yacht club or the beach club, it comes down to a matter of taste. And I'm a sucker for, you know, those rich, dark woods and, you know, that sort of... I guess I'm more a fan of the nautical feel at Yacht Club as opposed to the beach feel at Beach Club.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference. You can tell just by walking in both of the lobbies, you know, there is a difference, a more masculine feel to the Yacht Club and a more feminine feel, I guess you could say, to the Beach Club.
Maybe that's it. And I'm not criticizing housekeeping here because I don't think it's anybody's fault. I think that given the high traffic in both of these resorts, I think that the wear shows on the beach club in ways that it doesn't show at the yacht club. And it's just a function of a lighter color palette. You know, the beach club is probably due for some renovation work, for a refurb soon. I think they've replaced some carpet fairly recently. But those muted colors just, I think they show wear faster. Than the deeper colors at Yacht Club. And it just, I think the Yacht Club has stood up a little better.
You could be right about that. And recently on our last trip, a few weeks ago, we actually went and I think from what they're doing is they started at the concierge on the fifth floor, and I think they're working their way down as far as you were saying, redoing the carpets and things. And, we could tell, though, that still some of the furniture looked like it was a little banged up, and you know it could be, you know, refurbed or refreshed, right. You know, and it was nothing against the, you know, like you said, maybe the housekeeping. I don't think it's anything against the housekeeping, but like you said, maybe just those the way the colors, and also, you know, it may. The paints and stuff might have a patina look to them. It might have an older
sure,
look
and I think that's true. I think it's supposed to look a little bit, you know,
rustic.
It's that, it's that. What's the word for it? It's that shabby chic look a little bit.
Yeah.
That is part of the beach atmosphere, and I'm just not real fond of that. That's like I said, it's a personal taste thing.
Sure.
I think both resorts benefit from the access to Stormalong Bay, so that's a wash. You know, I love Cape May, but over on the other hand, I also love Yachtsman Steakhouse. And I'm a big fan. Well, let me take it back. I love Yachtsman Steakhouse, and Cruise Cup is nothing special, but it's decent. It's a, you know, maybe the only non-character breakfast buffet, actually one of only two I can think of, non-character breakfast buffets on Disney property. So it's a nice, you know, breakfast without the distraction of characters, if that's what you're looking for, which is a little different. Scott, you wanted to speak up for one of the benefits of Beach Club?
I haven't had the opportunity to be there yet. It's still on my bucket list.
Well, you were just talking, mentioning...
On one of these trips, but Beaches and Cream have... It's like I said, it's on my bucket list, so it can't be a bad thing.
No, I mean, Beaches and Cream bears mentioning, you know, especially, you know, now that it's become an ADR destination, you know, it's harder to just kind of drop in at Beaches and Cream.
Yep.
Yeah, we had gotten an ADR for on the day we had arrived, and it was real nice. I mean, didn't have to wait at all. I mean, and typically, you know, if you guys have ever had the experience, Aaron, probably you may have, is if you wanted Beach and Cream, you were waiting an hour, sometimes even longer, you know, just to get in sometimes.
Yeah.
And
I knew there was a reason I hadn't been there yet.
Yeah, I mean, they do have the takeout. You know, the takeout window, which is basically just your ice creams. You can't really, I don't believe you can get sandwiches or anything to go. It's mostly just ice cream to go. But,
right.
You know, if you're there for just ice cream, you can get that to go.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take some votes and you can make your arguments. You know, Justin, you've been quiet, so I'm going to make you go first.
Okay, yeah, I've been sitting here listening to both. I've been to the Yacht Club, and I've been to the Beach Club, only to visit. I think, has to come down to personal preference in style and dining. And the formal atmosphere of the Yacht Club versus maybe a more laid-back atmosphere of the Beach Club. And the dining, for me, is hard to compare the Yachtsman versus Cape May. They both are good in their own respective manners. I guess for me and my family, it would be the Beach Club that would ultimately win out.
All right. So that's a vote for Beach Club. I'm going to bounce it over to Scott Henney for the next vote.
Well, I have never stayed at either one. We've eaten at Cape May once, which was amazing. We had the clam bake one night. And then, like I said, the Beaches and Cream is on my to-do list. I've heard nothing but great things out of it. I've walked through Yacht Club, and I've heard amazing things out of the Yachtsman. But when it comes down to it, you know, like Justin said, it's kind of a personal preference. And I got to say, I'm more of a beach guy than a sailboat guy. I got to go with Beach Club.
Okay. Well, Todd, you're next. I'm going to guess that we're getting a clean sweep here, but I'll let you cast your vote.
Yeah. We're going to get a clean sweep. It's the Beach Club. And something we didn't mention, and another plus for it, is in the wintertime, during the holidays, they have an amazing, amazing chocolate carousel that they have on display. And it rivals almost the gingerbread house that the Grand Floridian has. So
it is pretty impressive.
So, definitely the Beach Club.
All right. Well, the Beach Club then advances, blowing away its sister resort, the Yacht Club. And now we need to pick back up with our upset winner, Caribbean Beach, that's going to have to face a tough competitor here in the Boardwalk Inn. And we've talked quite a bit about Caribbean Beach as it participated in that play-in game. So why don't we go straight to a little bit of description discussion of Boardwalk. Scott.
Well, Boardwalk, and I'm going to come right out up front. I'm a little biased on this fight because I've stayed at Boardwalk twice, and it is by far my favorite resort on site. But it's laid out really nice. It's actually split, so it's got the DVC on one side and then kind of, I guess I'd call the commons area in the middle with the courtyard and the pool and everything, the main pool, and then the regular rooms, I guess, the regular hotel rooms, I call them, on the other side. And it's, you know, it's just that, it's got that Boardwalk feel to it. The whole experience of staying there from the time you check in, they've got, you know, the lobby is set up with all the little carousels and the stuff that you would see on the Boardwalk, the roller coasters and that kind of thing. And then, you know, the pool's all decked out like a Boardwalk carnival. And then when you come around to the other side, you've got all those dining options.
The pool deck is laid out with centered around the terrifying clown.
Yes, I guess if you want to call it the terrifying clown, I remember more of the fun little carnival tent that had the bar underneath it. But like I was saying, the dining options, you got Flying Fish and the Big River Brewery and Cat Cora ESPN Club. I mean, the dining options just right there on the boardwalk are phenomenal. And it's all within a stone's throw of each other. You know, you got how many options right there, the bakery and the pizza place. And, you know, then you got the little kiosks out by the water also. And, you know, the fun doesn't, the experience doesn't stop there, because then you still have, you know, the night entertainment and the magicians and that's on the boardwalk. So the whole deal, and, you know, back to I can't even think of the word, but the other stuff that's involved there, you've brought up Magical Express. There's Magical Express there. You got how many different modes of transportation of the parks. You got water. You got boats that go to two parks. You can walk to two parks from there. They've got the, it's my favorite resort.
All right. So you make a good case there. Now, you know, having stayed at the boardwalk, I will say that I like a lot of what you're saying about it, and I agree with it. I will say this. The transportation from Boardwalk to Magic Kingdom area is excruciating.
If you take the bus.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I mean, your only other option is, if you're not going to take the bus from Boardwalk, you either have to walk all the way through Epcot to the front of Epcot to take a monorail across, or you end up paying for a cab to get across property. And I don't know what it is about Boardwalk, but it just seems, it must be, is Boardwalk the first stop along Crescent Lake? Is that what it is?
On the way from Hollywood Studios, I think so.
Because
I think Beach Club is the first stop from Epcot, though.
Oh, okay. Well, it just seemed like every time I tried to take a bus from Boardwalk to the Magic Kingdom, it was, you know, four or five stops before we even got out of the Crescent Lake area. And it was just maddening to be staying at a deluxe resort and have the transportation take that long.
I'm gonna throw a wrench into your argument real quick. Okay. For the walking, just playing devil's advocate. If you're walking from Boardwalk out to the monorail, you have a United Kingdom pavilion and a Canadian pavilion to stop and get alcohol on your way through Epcot that you can have gone by the time you get to the exit. Now coming back to Boardwalk, it's a little bit tighter squeeze. You got to stop in Canada, and then you may have to stand at the World Showcase entrance. But it's,
that works just fine unless Magic Kingdom closes at midnight.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, but the point, I mean, I understand the point, and I really can't argue that the transportation is better at Caribbean Beach, because there you're taking a bus everywhere. I think a slightly more central location does make, you know, all of the bus rides roughly equal, but you can't beat the, you know, walking access to Epcot and Hollywood Studios from Boardwalk, so.
Right.
All right. Does anybody else have anything they want to add to the Boardwalk Caribbean Beach argument?
No.
All right. Well, Todd, I'm going to let you vote first on this one.
All right. Well, I haven't stayed at either one, but just from our discussions tonight. I know I voted for Caribbean Beach earlier, but Boardwalk is one of the places that is on my bucket list to check out. You know, if Beach Club isn't available, most of the time Boardwalk is available, you know. And one place I'd like to check out at the Boardwalk is those little villas, I think they are. You know, the little, I'm not sure exactly what they call them, the little cottages. Don't they have those?
Oh, there? Yeah, they've got grand villas is what they are.
Yeah, they look like a little cottage, and there's like a little gate to their little, you know, walkway and everything, and there's an upstairs and a downstairs. I definitely want to check those out one day. So I'll go ahead and vote for the Boardwalk.
All right, so there's one vote for Boardwalk. Justin, how about you?
All I'll say is that the walk from my room from Boardwalk to get a beer and pretzel in Germany was shorter than my walk from my room at the Caribbean to get to the pool. I'll take the Boardwalk.
Okay. That's two votes for Boardwalk. Let's see. I guess we're coming around to Scott. Gee, Scott, are we going to have a clean sweep here?
You know what? I've stayed at both of them, and I really love both of them, but I can't pass up the Boardwalk. That is my by far favorite resort. And something that we forgot to talk about the Boardwalk is, if you're staying on the lagoon side, I think from, I would say, almost any balcony room, you can see illuminations, which I'm not a big fan of illuminations, but seeing the fireworks without music made my night quite a few nights when I stayed there. Okay. So Boardwalk it is for me.
Okay, fair enough. Well, you know, as much as I think that Caribbean Beach is a great example of, you know, Disney style in a resort, I can't argue with you. Stand the Boardwalk, it was terrific. I really enjoyed the easy access to multiple parks. As much as I complained about the, you know, transportation to Magic Kingdom, you know, it's not that much worse than a bus from Caribbean Beach would have been. And, you know, bottom line is, even playing the value consideration into this and the substantially lower cost of Caribbean Beach, until Caribbean Beach has at least queen-size beds in the rooms, it's not really an option even for my family. We just don't fit, and so that value benefit just doesn't have enough payoff. So obviously Boardwalk is a clean sweep and advances to the finals in the Epcot region. So now we have an interesting showdown. We have the Beach Club featuring the, you know, probably the best pool complex on property, facing off against Boardwalk, which has, you know, that sort of perfect central Crescent Lake location. So, Todd Bro, I'm going to turn to you and let you make the argument for the Beach Club to be the survivor of this region.
Well, of course, yes, I am going to vote for Beach Club. And again, like we said, the pool, I say, you know, like I mentioned before, it's the closest resort to any park. So it's just 5-minute walk to the International Gateway. The food options are great there as well, and it just feels homely and feels, you know, very calming and very relaxing. So all the way with Beach Club.
Okay. So that's our first Beach Club vote. You know, Scott, make your argument for Boardwalk.
Well, you know, I really like both of them, and I've only ever stayed at Boardwalk. I haven't stayed at Beach Club yet, but that it's something that I want to do. I think what beats, and I'm going to vote for Boardwalk, and I think what beats it out for me is the central, more central location of it, being able to have the same, roughly the same walk time from Boardwalk to International Gateway or Hollywood Studios. And then you throw on top of that the food options that are right there on the Boardwalk versus what I know about the food options that are all at Beach Club. There's just more of a variety and So I think Beach or Boardwalk is going to be my vote here.
Okay, so we got one vote for Beach Club, one vote for Boardwalk. Justin, what's your vote?
This is difficult. I think Beach Club, from a family perspective, in keeping my kids in mind, they would probably really prefer the pool complex and everything. Boardwalk, for my preference, the nighttime atmosphere on Crescent Lake there, with the restaurants and the lights and the entertainment, is just a quite the it's almost like an additional attraction in itself. They both have that great location there by Epcot.
So I think it boils into one or the other.
I think Boardwalk is the one that I would choose, but it's almost a coin flip.
All right, now see, Boardwalk is leading 2-1, and I have the opportunity to make or break a tie. And in this case, it's a tough call, but I'm going to make a tie. Because, you know, as resorts themselves, I think they're really roughly equivalent. And they've got that, as far as I'm concerned, essentially the same location. I mean, the benefit that Boardwalk has of easier access to both parks is equaled by Beach Club's easy walk to Epcot. And most importantly, that Beach Club pool just puts it over the top. I can't get over the creepy clown at Boardwalk. I can't imagine spending more than 10 minutes in that pool without getting creeped out. And the Beach Club Stormalong Bay pool complex just blows it away. So I'm going to cast my vote for Beach Club. We get a 2-2 tie. And what that means is that this podcast will, go out on Sunday. On Monday morning, we'll post a poll and we'll take votes. We'll collect votes for a week. And at the end of the week, based on the readers of the blog and listeners on the podcast, we'll have a winner coming out of the Epcot region and getting ready for our finals of Bunk Madness. The winner of this matchup will obviously be in our Final Four here in about 3 weeks. So maybe a slightly unfulfilling end to this particular show, but we're going to have to leave this one up to the listeners and the readers to choose a winner, because we're deadlocked here at 2-2 with the Beach Club and Boardwalk.
I think it's exciting.
Have we ever had a tie like this?
We have. We had some similar ties. I think we had them both each of the last 2 years during the tournament. I know we did in the dining tournament during the live show. I know that we had some ties, or at least a tie. And I know that we had a tie with the we had a tie on the live show in the Magic Kingdom area last week, and I seem to remember a tie like this in the attractions tournament 2 years ago, where we did similarly. We had to throw it to our readers to make the pick.
So, yeah, there was something. I can't remember which one it was, but we did have something.
Yeah. So anyway, you've heard what we think about these resorts. You've heard all the arguments for Beach Club and for Boardwalk. We welcome you making more arguments in the comments when we post this podcast. We really want to hear from you on this one. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. You can even visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Todd Bro.
May the Force be with you.
Scott Henney.
Good night, everybody. Vote for Boardwalk.
And Justin West.
Keep those clowns out of your dreams, folks.
brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.